Okay, Alexandra, let's do an update on Prince Andrew. The courts in the United States, they ruled against him. So, you know, we had that big news. Then the Queen stripped him of, what did she do? Stripped him of all his like medals and military honors and medals and, yeah. and stuff like that. Correct?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, I mean, he's no longer a serving member of the British Armed Forces. Okay. This came after what I suspect was a carefully organized protest about the fact that he still had military positions from various armed forces veterans. And of course, he's now stripped of all his honors, of all his titles. He's only, he's still Prince Andrew, he's still Duke of York. You can't strip him of those, but because he's still a royal and he's still a duke and all that. But in all other respects, he's been completely thrown out of the court, of the military. He's been cut off and he's having to fight this case in the United States as a private citizen without any financial support from the Queen. So it's quite a massive decision, actually.
It's not looking good for Prince Andrew. And then we have this news, which came out today, which is, and I'll just read it to you from RT. It says, Prince Andrew suspected of intimate relationship with Ghislaine. Paul Page, who served as a royal protection officer for Prince Andrew, claims the British socialite regularly visited the Duke of York. In an IT documentary scheduled to air on Tuesday, Mr. Page, who protected the Duke of York from 1998 to 2004, alleges that Maxwell was so close to Andrew that she was allowed to enter and exit Buckingham Palace at will.
Yeah.
I mean, every day it's just getting worse and worse for Andrew.
Absolutely. And of course, we've had photographs of Epstein and Ghislaine in Balmoral, which is the Queen's gigantic estate, by the way, in castle in Scotland. So and they were there apparently on Andrew's invitation. So Andrew is clearly deeply embedded with Epstein, and it's looking increasingly as if the royal family, the monarchy, have decided to cut him off. This despite the fact that he was for a very, very long time believed to be the Queen's favourite child. So even the Queen has been forced to take this radical step of essentially cutting him off. Now that's, I'm sure, a personal blow for her. It must be a profound shock for him. And it's perhaps a sign of how bad his situation has become.
Well, what about the rest of the family? Charles, William, I mean, how are they, how do you think they're looking at all of this? Are they seeing this as an opportunity? Are they seeing this as a risk to the well-being of the royal family going forward?
They see it as a risk to the royal family going forward, is the short and straightforward answer. I mean, notice not one member of the royal family now is coming out and supporting Andrew. We've had no supportive comments from Charles, none from Prince William, none from anybody. The only person connected to Andrew who is talking up and supporting him, believe it or not, is his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, whom he divorced in 1992. She has some interest in supporting Andrew because obviously he is the co-parent of her children. So she's got that particular connection to Andrew. And I'm not saying that there aren't emotional bonds as well. But the fact is that the entire royal family have clearly taken a collective decision, which is that Andrew is irreparably damaged goods and has to be cut off. He's on his own.
But would William, for example, or even Charles, his brother, would they see this as, you know, this is something that we've been trying to do for a while now, and as Charles prepares to take the throne, for him maybe it's an opportunity to kind of clean the slate, clear things up before he actually does begin his rule. I mean, better now than later.
Absolutely. It is absolutely essential from Charles's point of view. Remember, the Queen is now very old and I mean, she's apparently still in good health, but, you know, one wonders for how long. And her long-standing consort, Prince Philip, died recently. So we're definitely coming to the end of her reign. So we get all these decisions with Andrew out of the way when she's still alive, so that when Charles takes over as king, he won't be king for very long because he's now hardly a young man. But when he becomes king, he's king with a clean slate. He doesn't have to make decisions about his brother, which he would rather not have to make. So that's I think, partly the explanation for this. But be absolutely clear, this has done real damage. I mean, the reputation of the monarchy has been badly affected. And if at the end of this civil case, Andrew is either, a judgment is made against him in the US courts, and perhaps following that judgment, conceivably, a prosecution is brought against him, or alternatively, if he's forced into making a major payout, which he'd have to do now from his own money. Well, in either case, this is going to be a major reputational hit for the monarchy. And you can see that they're trying to preempt that by taking this preemptive action. But the very fact that they've been forced to make this preemptive action shows how damaged they already feel they are.
Yeah, but the possibility of Andrew actually serving any time is, I mean, that's out of the question, right?
It's absolutely out of the question. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
So a payout is the most likely, correct?
Absolutely. There will be a payout, and there will be major representations done by the British government to the US saying, look, he's paid his money. Let this thing go. If you continue with this, you will damage the monarchy in Britain. You poison relations between Britain and the United States. You just don't need this. And to be straightforward about this, these prosecutions are highly political affairs. I'm, by the way, quite certain that this is the only high-profile prosecution of one of Epstein's associates, which we're going to see. I think, you know, that this has been done. I've said this already, that this has been done. Andrew's been picked out as the big name that's going to go down, and all the other people, the Americans especially, are going to be protected. So this is a very political affair. The whole Epstein thing is an extremely political affair. But once that payout is made by Andrew, and I'm sure there will be one, then they'll try and draw a line under the whole affair. They will say, look, Ghislaine is in prison. Andrew's had to make a huge payout. He's been discredited. He's been ruined. Let's stop, because pressing on is going to start causing real damage. It's going to cause damage to the monarchy in Britain. Britain is your most important ally. You can't allow that thing to carry on to the point where real damage is done.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this is very similar to Weinstein, in that the Hollywood oligarchs, they singled out Weinstein. They said, this is the guy that we're going to throw to
the wolves.
He's going to be our red meat. We're going to throw him to the sharks in order for all of these disgusting allegations, all of these disgusting things that have been happening in Hollywood, so that they don't come to us. We're going to throw Weinstein in there. I think, you know, Andrew's the same thing. You know, this is going to be the big guy that we're gonna throw in there to take the hit. And that's why I think that you know, the Queen has the political capital, so that, you know, she can take some of the hit as well, get Andrew out, clean things up a little bit for Charles. Charles will further clean things up for the eventual rise of William, and William will have a much cleaner slate to work with when he does become king. Except for Harry, which I think is the last remaining wild card. And Harry is not at the level of Andrew. I don't want to say that. But, you know, Harry definitely attracts a lot of interesting press. And he also has a little bit of a bone to pick, it seems, with the UK government, because he's looking to take them to court because he's, and I quote, he's unable to return to his home due to the Home Office's refusal of police protection. So I guess they want Harry to flip the bill for his own protection if he does decide to go back to the UK. And he's saying no, it seems.
Well, indeed. The Harry thing is a hideous mess. And again, it shows, by the way, what a profoundly dysfunctional family in so many ways this is. But, of course, it's always a difficult position to be the second in line to the throne. You know, just as Andrew had to defer to Charles because Charles was the heir, so there wasn't really a role for Andrew. I'm not saying that to excuse him. But in a completely different way, and, you know, from a much more likeable and human perspective, you can see that Harry also, in effect, has gone AWOL, or, you know, absent without leave, if you like, because, again, he doesn't have a clearly defined role because, well, his only real role is that he's William's brother. So you can see that this problem of second sons comes up in hereditary monarchies. Now, as I said, I don't want to imply that Harry and Andrew are on the same sort of level of moral turpitude. They clearly are not. But here we go. We have Harry now very angry because he's been denied police protection. He's threatening to bring legal action. The monarchy, the government will have to find some way of dealing with that. In the meantime, the Queen has the disappointment that she's apparently unlikely now to see her great-grandchild, Lilibet. So all sorts of things are you know, this gives you an example of how difficult it is to run a hereditary monarchy in the modern world. It assumes a degree of power by the monarch over the members over her children, and her ability to control them and control what they do, which simply isn't consistent with the realities of today's world.
Yeah, it's tough being a prince.
It's tough being a prince. Well, we shouldn't say that, actually. It's actually very nice being a prince. I mean, you know, you've got heaps of money, you can live a wonderful life. Problem is that, you know, they still feel, as people always do, unsatisfied in some way with their role. I mean, you know, one shouldn't be too sympathetic.
It's never enough.
It's never enough, but I mean, one shouldn't be too sympathetic. The fact is that both Andrew and Harry, and, you know, I don't want to be overly critical of Harry, but both Andrew and Harry, I mean, they could have lots of things they could have done. I mean, they could have become involved in all sorts of things. I mean, they didn't have any financial concerns. They weren't unexposed to the so-called the stresses and pressures of life that, you know, most of us have to live with. So they could have made all sorts of uses of it, but of course they didn't. Andrew has gone down a very, very dark turn. I mean, things have gone hideously wrong with him in all sorts of ways. And Harry, as I said, has just run away, basically. I mean, he's married, and that marriage was already, to some extent, a step distancing himself from the monarchy. And, of course, his actions ever since then have taken him ever further away from the monarchy. And, you know, maybe more sophisticated, more intelligent, more worldly, stronger-minded people would have avoided making those kind of mistakes. And given the advantages that they had as royals, well, one would have expected them to do it, but they didn't.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, to close out the video, I would rather be the prince than the king. To be honest, you get all the benefits,
absolutely,
and you don't really have to deal with any of the fallout, the responsibility, the accountability. I mean, I think that's a much better position to be in. I'd rather
absolutely
be a Harry type of figure than a William type of figure. Chill out, enjoy life, live a decent life. And you don't have to worry about all the headaches that that the king has to go through. Perfect position.
You could absolutely, but as you rightly said, it's never enough. And one of the problems with hereditary systems is that, of course, you can't guarantee the caliber of the people who are produced by it. And we see this. We see this that, as I said, I want to stress Harry and Andrew, very different people. One can't make comparisons between the two in that respect, but they both, in their different ways, gone wild. Andrew in a very dark and sinister way, Harry in a rather frivolous, self-indulgent way, or so many people in Britain would say. But, you know, they could have They could have studied, they could have worked hard to get proper degrees, they could have sorted themselves out in real professions, law, journalism, well, not journalism, but, you know, law, business. They could have done all kinds of things with their lives. They could have worked, you know, for example, in charities. They could have become ambassadors. They could have developed diplomatic roles. They could have done all kinds of things. But, of course, they didn't.
Anyway, what an opportunity squandered and lost.
Absolutely.
It's always lost on people that don't deserve it. Anyway, we'll leave it there. The Durant.locals.com, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and Super U. And use the code GOODDAY on that mug, Durant Shop. 10% off. All merch. There is the mug. All right. Good day. Use that code. Get the discount. Take care.